Hello, 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 healthy and whole marriages family. Thank you for joining us on another episode of our Healthy and Whole Marriages podcast. We are Seth and Damia Roth, and if you have never met us before, welcome, welcome, welcome. Feel free to check us out at www.healthyandwholemarriages.com. Also, we have some exciting things going on and coming up. We'll tell you a little bit more, about that later. But next month is our annual Healthy and Whole Marriages Conference, and it is going to be awesome. It's in person at the Riverside Epicenter here in Atlanta, Georgia. But as I stated, we'll tell you more about that later. And we are going to start, as we do every other event, conversation, whatever we do, we're going to begin with prayer.
Father God, we thank you. We praise and bless your name again for this opportunity to come before your people. We pray that you will lead and guide us in this podcast tonight, and that you will give us your grace to speak your words instead of our own. God, have your way. God, we welcome you into the room tonight. And God, we just appreciate you for this avenue to get the word out to the masses. Ask that you bless us and that you will strengthen us, that we will be articulate in our approach to this thought tonight. And God, we give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you're doing. It's in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. So whenever you have decided, whenever you decide to enjoy this podcast and actually invite us on your marital journey, or even the consideration of a marital journey, whether that's morning, noon, or night, we are grateful that you have joined us during this time of your life. So what we're going to discuss on this particular episode is the five love languages. And if you know anything about the five love languages, it became a very popular book, very popular topic, and it still is. And I believe a little background on it is the author is Mr. Gary Chapman. And he did some research several years ago and kind of paying attention to those that he was counseling regarding marital issues, and was able to take note of some particular things that pointed out. And those particular things ended up being five. Everyone pretty much has about five love languages that are key to how we love and how we are to be loved. So we're going to discuss those from our perspective on this evening, giving them a little bit of a biblical twist for you as well. But ultimately, with everything we always say, we want your marriage to win. And more importantly, we want you to relate or go back and refer to the Bible on anything related to what you may be experiencing in your particular marriage, or even if you're hearing something from us, cross-check us. We welcome you to do that and actually invite you to help us out as well, because we do not present ourselves to be experts, only with regards to our particular marital journey. We just hope to be insightful to yours as well. So to begin, anything more that you want to add about the five love languages? Maybe tell them what the five are?
Well, I can give them the five. And then I wanted to say something before we kind of jumped into the love languages. Number one, words of affirmation. Number two, quality time. Number three, physical touch. Number four, acts of service. And number five, gifts. I agree that the book is a great book, and it is one that has strengthened our marriage. And so definitely we encourage you to buy the book, download the book, and see what it can do for your relationship. Before we get into those, I thought I would bring out a scripture that I feel is key going into just any relationship. That is Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Plain and simple, we need God. It is impossible to know everything about your spouse, even if you read all the books, because they're human and we change and things happen. And even if you read this book and master the love language of your spouse, it's important that you involve God. That's all I want
to say. Absolutely agree. I mean, I couldn't have said it better. And actually, I'm going to elaborate a little bit in saying that he's the creator, right? You go back to the source. You go to the source or the designer of whatever product, item, whatever is important to you that you actually take interest in. If it is not operating to the extent that you anticipate it, or things just aren't going well with that particular thing, you're going to try to go back to the manual on it. You're going to try to go back to the designer, what they intended. You're going to do research or something. That's who God is for your spouse. So consult him. What is it that you want me to get? What am I missing when it's a situation regarding my spouse? Like, I got this love language thing down, but I'm still missing something. Let me know what's going on. Let me know how to approach this. So yes, absolutely, seek God. And I'm going to throw out this other part as well and say love languages, I think, can change a bit. It can turn and twist just a little bit as far as the level of priority in someone's life, because time changes people, right? There are different demands. There are different things that can take place. And what was once a priority for me maybe 5 years ago after menopause or children or something, that's just no longer number one on that list. They may have fallen down to number three. So seek God. Don't feel that you are totally a master at who your spouse is, because life circumstances require all of us to change.
So the second scripture I want to give you, and I believe in scripture reference because I believe it helps us when things get tough. The second one, once you have reverence God, once you believe that you need him in your relationship, I believe now you're ready to meet the desires of your spouse. However, Romans 12 and 10 is another great scripture that puts you in line with focus. It states, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I believe that is the catalyst of a relationship working. Honor your spouse above yourself. Now you're ready to understand more about them, because you're seeking to please who they are and you're looking for them to be satisfied with what God has given you to give them. And as you read this particular book or any book about marriage or just building relationship, if you're thinking with your spouse in mind to honor them above yourself, you can freely give to them. And I believe that once you're freely giving to them, that your heart will speak in the sincerity of your heart, and you're able to, I believe, transform your relationship into this authentic way of life.
I also think that what you said definitely is like the foundation, right? Almost the baseline or premise or however you want to phrase it, for the five love languages. You have to esteem someone else highly. And a lot of times we find ourselves caught up in loving someone else without realizing it, loving them the way that we want to be loved. And that's what the five love languages ultimately kind of addresses, if you will. And I'm going to go through them briefly to expound on what they are. But when you find yourself loving someone the way that you expect to be loved, the way that you would prefer to be loved, you find yourself disappointed because they're not fulfilling that and they're not satisfied, right? you're trying to find a way, probably even unconsciously, to show them how to love you, manipulatively show them how to love you. And when they don't reciprocate that, then you're upset. And when they're not appreciative or showing signs of appreciation of that form of love, then you're upset. So it's important to know what your love, your partner's love language is, so that you will ensure that their needs are met. And then they, in turn, will focus on, well, how do you love? How do I need to love you so that you can understand to the level that you need to understand that I actually love you? Now, just to expound a bit, the five love languages are words of affirmation, right? Words of affirmation is pretty self-explanatory, but telling someone you appreciate them, giving them accolades, you look good today, any words that would make them feel encouraged, boost the ego, things of that nature, anything you can say that would do that. I know that becomes a difficult thing for some people, but I'll just stop there. I'll continue to go on and we'll address those separately in a second. Words of affirmation, quality time. Quality time, of course, is, as we call it now, QT. Some people say Netflix and chill. In the marital realm, if that's how you still phrase it, great. But it's any form of quality time. You investing your time in someone else. Maybe sitting and watching television with your spouse, and it's a show you don't normally watch. Might be a show you don't even like. But you're there spending time, showing your love for them by spending time with them in their presence. Service. This one is often referred, or the example is often used when speaking of the acts of service, by giving the example of a husband doing the dishes, or maybe he's doing the cleaning or cooking for a day and the wife is, you know, sitting back and not having to do as much as she normally does. Any act of service that will show support that you are there with that person in some shape, form, or fashion. Maybe the husband isn't able to run and do a few things that he normally does on the way home, and you pick up the slack before he gets home so that you guys can have that time together. So, acts of service, that covers words of affirmation, quality time, and then the next one would be physical touch. I think physical touch is pretty self-explanatory. Any type of touch doesn't necessarily mean sexual touch, but touching is an intimate thing, and when you are able to touch someone, of course, you know, they speak about endorphins increasing with just hugs. So some type of touch, hand holding, caressing of the face, anything of that nature. Lastly, gifts, and I'm not giving these in any particular order, but gifts is the last, oh my gosh, the last of the love languages. And that's a gift of whatever you think or know would be appreciated by your spouse. So I'll stop there before expounding on the each one separately and biblically. Well, do you have anything?
No, I don't have anything. I think you explained them well. I would say that, you know, with these love languages, that just because you have, or you've identified with one, there could be a secondary love language too.
Absolutely.
I actually speak about that in the book a little bit too, and I think that's also important. But I really believe that all five of these love languages can speak to your spouse, and don't get caught up in, hey, one particular one, like words of affirmation, and stop doing physical touch because they said their love language is words of affirmation. So just be mindful of those type of things as
Absolutely.
You kind of go in depth into this. And even as I think about our relationship, it's, you know, sometimes that secondary one will take first place sometimes. And it just depends on the time and the change in the relationship and how it's progressing and what's going on, and making sure that you are present in your relationship to understand your spouse so they can feel the genuine approach to this, not something that is forced just because now you know a little bit more about them, that you're trying to just cater to that particular thing, but be genuine in your approach. Make sure, again, we say this word a lot, be authentic. It definitely, what's from the heart reaches the heart, but make sure that you're focused on just doing things, or I would say pray about how you approach your spouse in these particular love languages, and pray over it. Definitely there are quizzes out there to help you identify some of these things, but you know you. And once you come to that conclusion of what it is, make sure that you do a little research around it and make sure that your spouse does the same, so you all can continue to grow and continue to love authentically.
Do you realize you said you didn't have anything to add?
Yeah, but I just started feeling something, so I thought I would just keep on going.
Okay.
You know, that's what we do.
I hope you guys enjoyed that, because, you know, it was definitely worth listening to. I just got stuck on that part. But nevertheless, what we're going to do is kind of go through each one once again and kind of apply a little bit of our biblical perspective on it, or I will say mine, and Seth may just go ahead and chime in based on what I got.
And maybe have now, nothing to say. And
right. And
going,
another
right?
5 minutes. So the five love languages, you can Google it, right? You can Google the five love languages, look online, and actually see what your language is. You can, as he stated before, Google it, and they will give you a test to see what your five love languages are, or in what order, so that you can relay the information to your spouse. You can even understand yourself better through those love languages. As it relates to the words of affirmation, we spoke about using words that will build up your spouse, right? Words that are encouraging, some words that will stroke their ego, pump them up in some shape, form, or fashion. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word, and I'm paraphrasing, come out of your mouth, but those that'll benefit or edify the listener. If you're speaking to your spouse, of course, you know, we have hard times, but you should try to find a way to speak to them in a way that will be uplifting. Because when you're uplifting your spouse, you're ultimately uplifting your relationship. And if you will focus on words that will be uplifting to your spouse, encouraging to them, it will be, I believe, reciprocated in some shape, form, or fashion. If these are your words, make sure you relay that if this is your love language, make sure you relay that information to your spouse so that they will know and practice on those words of affirmation that will edify you. Now, this does prove to be difficult for some people, right? They are just not used to having to encourage someone else. I know for some people, some women even, they feel, well, why am I always having to, you know, pump you up? I mean, you know, you're that weak in your ego, or whatever the case may be. Seek God about that. Ask Him to help you, because ultimately, if that's what your spouse needs so that they can fulfill to the fullest potential their side, if you will, of the relationship, and uphold their end of the relationship to ultimately edify the relationship, then pray about it so that you can do the best that you can in the fullest capacity that you're able to offer them words of affirmation.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in just kind of going about that, but I really like the scripture. Even if you can't identify with it and give it your total support coming right out the box with it, don't let unwholesome words come out of your mouth, though. And I think if you just reference to that, you'll get to the words of affirmation.
Right.
But you have to just give yourself an opportunity to grow towards that. And again, be authentic. Don't rush it. Have communication regarding it. Talk it out. So your spouse will know that, hey, I want to learn this. I want to be a part of this, but it's important to me that I do this in a way that doesn't feel forced.
Right. But I will add to that as well. One way that I think about that, only, and I'll limit it to just this particular love language, is in the respect of, if you are able to go out to work or anywhere else in public and someone crosses your path and the cologne or the perfume they have on smells good, and you actually turn around and tell them that, if their outfit looks nice and you actually tell them that, why would it be so much more difficult for you to say those similar words to your spouse? You're more likely than not, you have more likely than not chosen their fragrance anyway. So why not remind them that you like how they smell, or picked out some clothes, or, you know, just even if you got your nose turned one way and your eyes rolling in the other way, you see something that they may have on that you like. Go ahead and say it. Don't make it more difficult to say it to someone you say you love than to someone you'll probably never see again, a stranger on the street. So try to consider it that way, because ultimately the person in your home feeling uplifted, again, it's going to be for your relationship. It's going to benefit you ultimately, not that compliment you gave to the stranger.
Amen.
The next one that I want to kind of put our biblical, or my biblical spin approach to, is physical touch. John 3:18, let us not live in word or speech only, but in action. Love is an action word. Marriage is an action word. I remember a pastor we had, at a church we attended, would refer to this a little bit at times, right? It's like, you can't keep telling me you love me and you're not following that up with any action. It's hard to be convinced of that when someone doesn't do something to show that love. And if you're not receiving action to support that, you're questioning it, right? You're questioning if they really are saying something that's genuine, or they're just saying it. Excuse me. We are creatures that have to see and have to feel and have to experience a lot of things before we're fully convinced, or before we find those things to be true in nature. And love is just one of those other things. That's something you have to do consistently to uplift your relationship, to show your spouse that you love them. So physical touch, if you know that you're wife, you know, because a lot of times we try to prefer in a situation like this, or with regards to physical touch, prefer to speak about the man. But if your wife is someone who prefers physical touch, find a way to do the physical touch. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be sexual, men or women. You know, it could just be the massage once a week. It could just be your hand touching theirs while y'all are watching TV. It could just be, let me help you take down your braids. Well, that could fall into physical touch and service. Or, as I mentioned, I think before, stroking a cheek or hand, anything like that. Physical touch does not have to be sexual in nature for it to be a love language. And I actually, if you'll dive into that one in particular, it doesn't speak primarily about intimacy or sex. So, John 3:18, let us not live in word or speech only. Show the person through your action that you love them.
Yeah, I agree. It's physical touch can be, again, as you stated, kind of tricky sometimes because of how it's received. Some men may think of it as a sexual touch, and some women may feel the same, but it is something that is, I feel, most important for it to be non-sexual, because those are the things that I feel sometimes that kind of really the thought that goes into it. I'm one to enjoy that you rub my shoulder or rub my head or whatever it is. And it makes me feel loved. And I think those small things really add up to be big things when you're talking about with physical touch.
Absolutely. The next love language we'll address is gifts. Acts 20 and 35, gifts. Before sharing that particular verse, and I'm looking it up for you as well because I didn't jot it down. Acts 10 and 35, is that what I just said? I think so. I'm going to apply it to us. I'm not so much into gifts. I enjoy receiving gifts, but I don't have to have a gift over my other love language. And we haven't exactly gotten into what our love languages are. And I guess we can share those, but or our primary love language in general. But if my love language is service and you're giving me a new Kate Spade, I'm really not going to be impressed. And you've wasted money. You're going to be upset about that situation. And I'm going to be trying to figure out some other way that we could have used the money for that price that you spent on the purse. Now the relationship is kind of tense because you don't think I appreciate you and what you give. And I'm saying, why would you even think to buy me something like that anyway?
Yeah.
Or buy me something that I don't even want. Like, why? You know, and it just becomes back and forth. So it's important that we, and that's a prime reason to make sure we understand each other's love language, right? That's a prime example, if you will, because my spouse is not going to be agitated and think I'm ungrateful when I'm saying, why are you trying to impress me, you know, and not give me what I want? Or you can break it down to your birthday. They're buying these things and you specifically said, hey, I don't want these things. Can I just have a night alone? Or can I just have anything, you know, anything else that could be a cooked meal and just the two of you. And they walk in with all these gifts and Manolo Blanc and all these gifts and you're looking like, okay, so why? You know, so I'll stop there and share the scripture before you expound if I can. From the King James Version is, you know, the primary version. I'm going to read to you guys from the NIV. And that is, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's because it'll come back. That's because the blessing is in being able to help someone. The blessing is in the service aspect of it. And that's, I think, our last one anyway. The blessing is in seeing someone else's life enlightened, encouraged, someone else happy from something that you were able to do and not make it about yourself. When you ignore that particular or any particular love languages your spouse has shared with you, you're not showing them that you love them. You're not loving them in the way they need to be loved. You're loving them selfishly, the way you want to love, and then expect them the way you expect them to love you, the way you want to be loved. It's a whole one-sided relationship. So I'll stop there. More blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah, and then I would simply go back to Romans 12 and 10 again, and just honoring your spouse above yourself. I think when you think about giving gifts, you have to understand where you are in the relationship and really what are, I won't even say expectations, but what have you done? Because I think when you begin to ask others or try to compare or try to compete with somebody else, is that really what your spouse desire? Mm-hmm. And so be very mindful of that to ensure that you speak or communicate with your spouse so you are not out there wasting money. And you're not communicating effectively, or some would even say listening, because that's not what I ask you for. I ask you for that time alone, and you gave me something that cost a lot. However, that doesn't meet my need. And so let's make sure that we're focusing on honoring one another higher than ourselves. And that takes sometimes an extra step. We just focused on ourselves and how we feel about a gift sometimes, but it's important to kind of think it out to ensure that you don't put yourself inside of it. But it is more of a blessing to give than to receive. But how would the receiver feel once you give the gift?
Right. Because gifts aren't only tangible. And so we have to keep that in mind. And I kind of segued already towards the next, and that is service. I didn't even write a scripture down for service. Why? Because look at the life of Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. And if you look at that little short period of time in his 33 years of life, which was the acts of service that he provided, were probably in the last few, primarily documented, that's exactly what he did. He served. No one questioned his love because he served. He came to serve, not to be served. The last shall be first, first shall be last. He always focused on someone else and what they needed. And so acts of service, there are so many things that we do throughout the day, whether we both work or the one of us works. Sometimes it's sufficient to show your love for the other person, where you just say, hey, let me just take one thing off of your to-do list and help with that. Let me switch up with you. And you take my duties and I'll take yours. Give you just a different change of pace. Whatever the case may be, an act of service. Jesus washed feet, if that's your thing. If you massage feet, do that. Wash a back. Wash, you know, run the bath water, do the dishes, cook the food, actually stay up with the children at night and switch up with the other spouse, whatever the case may be. Acts of service is essential. That's a way to show someone that I love you, I respect and appreciate what you do, so much so that I understand that you may need some time to rest so that you can act and I lost the word I want to use, but to perform to your fullest extent, your fullest potential for the rest of the day. Before we even get any further, some of these things, the physical touch, if it's not coming across romantic to begin with, more likely than not, it will be so encouraging that you did it without an expectation of sex that you'll probably end up having sex. Acts of service, same thing. You take something off someone's plate, now they may have a little time for themselves to rejuvenate, to take a quick nap, and later show their appreciation because they have the energy to do so, probably better than they were able to had they not received the acts of service. And then, words of affirmation, same thing. You know, if you say something sweet throughout the day, intimacy, sex does not start in the bedroom, in the bed. Start in the morning, start throughout the day. Be consistent, because if you just show up all the time with those words just so that you can reach a particular end because you have an ulterior motive of having sex, they're going to fall on deaf ears. They're not going to be believable. So I'll stop there before we get into our last.
So one scripture I wanted to just point out, and that's Matthew 23:11. I think is one of the greatest scriptures as it relates to Jesus. It states, the greatest among you will be your servant. Again, the greatest among you will be your servant. Acts of service is, I feel, one of the more important aspects of life, is serving one another because of how Jesus set the example. However, I think sometimes it gets lost in everyday life because of we're doing something to make their life easier. We're like, well, I do that for you every day. And I think you have to be very cognizant of your approach in your acts of service. It may be something that you want to do on behalf of them. But again, having that open communication and knowing your spouse, you know what they need in that moment. So you may feel that it's dishes, but for them, it could be, hey, I just need you to watch the kids while I take a break. So make sure that you understand what act of service your spouse desire instead of what act of service that you want to give.
Yes, that's very important. Ask them. Don't just jump in and then you feel like you did something and want credit for it. And once again, it can fall on deaf ears and be unappreciated because they can tell you really weren't sacrificing. You really weren't stretching. That was just for with an ulterior motive in mind. So my last scripture reference and the last love language would be quality time. And I have Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. Excuse me. Quality time, however way you see fit. But I guess I shouldn't say that. Once again, talk to your spouse.
Yep.
Once you guys sit down, and I encourage you to sit down and go through your love languages, look them up, then sit down and discuss them and discuss your expectations with regards to them. Quality time could mean a movie. Quality time could mean a quiet dinner once a week, maybe at dinner time every day, uninterrupted. Quality time could mean a walk in the park. Hey, if you don't like nature, you may just have to do that walk in the park because it's for the benefit of your marriage. And we read a devotional where a gentleman was saying he and his wife, she's a runner, he's not. They will go out together sometimes to run. Well, his run is actually more like a jog, and she has to slow down greater than that to even keep pace with him. But they enjoy that time for maybe the first mile. And then after the first mile to 3 miles at the most, they release each other from that particular time of running so that she can be free to run at her pace and the way that she needs to. And they've actually still gotten in time. He doesn't like running, but he knows it's important to share that time with her, doing something with her that she enjoys. She may do something with him as well. I remember my mom would go out and sit outside with my dad working on the car, not giving him instruction. I don't even remember her giving him tools, but it was the quality time of being there that was important. The quality time of showing up and just, you know, again, being there, even if you guys aren't even having a conversation. So definitely for the fellowship, for the marriage, that's all I have for that one.
So what I do want to point out, I think it's two important things when we're talking about quality time, especially if that's your spouse's love language. Make sure that you leave your phone far away from you. You don't want to become, I feel, distracted, because the person that wants the quality time. They want you to be focused, and they want to have your undivided attention. And we know in the time that we live in, from social media or to check, or we can do most things on our phones now, it's easy to become distracted if we allow ourselves to. But it's important that we focus on our spouse so they feel that this is uninterrupted time, that you have made me the most important part of this moment, instead of trying to check an email or catch up on the time, what time the game start, or what time you all have to be at the next engagement or whatever it is, or the children are coming down. They will understand at some point that mom and dad needs this moment together. And if all else fails, put your phone not in view of you, focus in, and lock a door. And make sure that you all have that time together and really grow. I think that's one of the most important parts of quality time.
So I think a lot of times we say now, or people use the phrase now, being present. That's exactly the gist of it. Be present. Be in the moment. It's not about the quantity. It's the quality. Yeah. Not that, oh, yeah, well, I sit down with you to watch Lifetime once a week. Or I sit and watch the game with you when it comes on. And then the rest of the week, you know, you want to be left alone. But if you're sitting there and you're not really invested, unless your spouse is fine with you with the phone, you know, if you're not really invested in that time, it's no different than when you don't even have to have children for me to give you this example. If you go around a child who's expecting your attention, that's what they want, your attention. They will probably even call you out on, why are you still looking at your phone? I thought you were going to play Legos with me. I thought you were going to play the cars with me. They're not going to be satisfied, and they're not going to give you credit for spending time with them if you sat there for an hour, but your phone was up primarily. They're going to later be like, hey, no, they didn't really spend that much time with me because they were on their phone while we were trying to race. It's no different for adults. We're just big children. You know, we do have greater responsibilities and priorities at times, or definitely in comparison to children. But it's going to be a situation where you're not really giving quality time if you're not really invested in that time and showing your spouse that this time is important to you. I tell our son all the time, trying to get our daughters to understand too, time is the most important and valuable thing we have. We can't get back, can easily be wasted. But to actually share that time with someone, or to actually think about making the best use of your time is so important. And to decide to share your time, something you can never borrow back, with someone means a whole lot more than sharing some other things that when your spouse has told you, that's a love language, that's a priority love language for me. So that's my take on that. That's our take with a little bit of our biblical perspective applied to it. Seek the Bible for yourself and apply what you see fit to your marriage. Because ultimately, as we always say, we want your marriage to win. And however God is speaking to you about your marriage and pointing out certain scriptures for you and your marriage, you go with those. Because he is the creator of this whole institution. And definitely, it's for the purpose of us winning. We don't have anything else related to the five love languages. We hope that you all have found this to be insightful, encouraging. If nothing else, a reference tool that you can go back and check into the Bible and, again, apply it to your life. chat with your spouse about it and see how you all have your love languages prioritized, or if you've even paid attention to those. And now you can get a better focus and encourage each other however you see fit. So at this time, we are going to close out with prayer. Don't forget to check us out on www.healthyandwholemarriages.com, and be sure to register for the Healthy and Whole Marriage Conference, June 25th, Riverside Epicenter in Atlanta, Georgia. It is going to be an awesome time. Registration and tickets are per couple, not per person, because we believe you guys are going to thoroughly enjoy yourselves together. It's going to be different than a normal marriage conference.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this moment to just discuss five love languages, God. We thank you for Dr. Chapman and his thought to even put this together, oh God, from his experience. He's helped hundreds of thousands of couples, oh God, just reading this book and motivating them to learn and spend time communicating with their spouse to help them enjoy their marriage even the more, God. Lord, as Healthy and Whole, God, we desire for couples to win. And what other way to win than to learn more about one another? God, we pray that marriages and husband and wives will just take moments and take thoughts from tonight's podcast and go for it all, and learn more about each other, oh God. And as they grow, God, we pray that you will help them to increase and reach new levels in the relationship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, be healthy.
Be whole.
Be blessed. Is our prayer for each of you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.